Welcome to Lockdown Trivia, the Unlock Your Brain podcast quiz show. My name is Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host as we choose four expert categories of our players and explore them together as we try to unlock this trivia game one key at a time. This week's episode features Brittany Shaw from Plainfield, Illinois. Her expert categories are, well, I guess you'll find out, because Brittany bravely asked for a dealer's choice game. Sign up for your own episode of Lockdown Trivia following the link in the description of each and every episode. You can play by yourself or bring a friend for a competitive or cooperative game. Now let's get started. Brittany, you've got some fun ones ahead of you here.
Okay.
As I mentioned, you had the bravery to say dealer's choice. And so after speaking to your friends and doing a little bit of research into what you may enjoy, what we have in front of you is one category called punny trivia.
All right.
And you know what's coming there.
Puns.
Lots of puns in that round. Mystery theme. I have never got to do one, and it is a trivia trope. So that is a potpourri round where they all have something in common. You don't have to figure out what it is, but if you do, it may help you with the rest of them.
Sure. Okay.
Women in Star Wars is category three. I know you love Star Wars, and I know you are a powerful feminist, and I was like, well, we've done Star Wars a lot on the show, but it's about damn time we highlight the women in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
So that is that category.
Excited to see that.
And then run it back. These are questions all of us have missed in trivia.
Okay.
The typical, like, oh, we've all got it wrong at least once kind of things.
Sure.
That's a lot of fun.
I have some ideas for strategy. Jay told me to just do the opposite of whatever she did.
She's not wrong.
So she's been giving me pointers today. Mostly I'm just here to have a good time. And I know, like, not just, like, I know that you run a fun game. And I've heard the accolades of, like, praise. I'm in a group chat with Tim and Jay where we just, like, They talk about ideas that they have for shows. And I remember when you announced yours, they both were like, I'm mad I didn't come up with that.
Hmm.
Which is how you know it's a great idea. Because if they're mad they didn't come up with it, they come up with a lot of things.
I'll put that in my pipe and smoke it. I will take that. Thank you very much.
I am the kind of person who's great at being on shows, but I'm not great at coming up with the ideas. Like, Tim was like, hey, you want to do this frenemy trivia thing with me? And I was like, yeah, sure. You came up with all the ideas, right? He's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. My contribution was adding puns to the show.
We're going to have them for you in this one.
Well, there we go.
To that point, my biggest advice in that is I can give is do not give up on an idea, because my original idea for Lockdown was not this fleshed out. And I did sit on this for probably 6 to 9 months. 6 to 7 months. I want to keep in tune what's popular and funny. In terms of, like, how to flesh it out, it started inspired by, like, I'm not kidding, Flippy Cup is where this started.
Nice.
And when I say that, I mean seriously, it got so far from that. And thinking through what a good trivia game could be, there may be a future Dalton McGee produced game that comes out more closely inspired by Flippy Cup. But I started at Flippy Cup and I got to this. So my point is, don't give up on an idea. Play test it with a couple close friends you can trust not to give it away. Come up with some questions that might work. Play with it. See in your brain how it could play out, and sit on it for a minute. Just like a tattoo, at least for me, you don't want to just put it on your body. You want to think about it and make sure it does mean something to you and it does have value. That will make the edit, because this game sucked when I had the idea originally, and I do think it's good now, and it's better because you're here, Brittany. So,
oh well, thank you.
Seriously,
I'm excited to play. I'm nervous, but I'm excited to play. So,
this is going to be an extremely silly game.
Oh, I'm glad. My philosophy is, in trivia, you're either right or you learn something, and as long as you're having fun, that's the best way to play. So
I'm going to be a little column A, a little column B, and a lot of column C. Where do you want to start your game today?
Oh, I am a person who likes instant gratification, but I'm also trying to work on that. So I think I'm before I forget that maple syrup is a thing, I think I'm going to go for the National Maple Syrup Day question.
Wow, we're jumping into a bonus question, and I'm not against it, but I don't want to tell you why. Here is your National Blank Day question. Today, as of airing, is National Maple Syrup Day. Here is your question. There are 13 species of maple tree that can be tapped for syrup, but the preferred species has what name? Which alludes to the fact that it probably would make very good syrup.
Okay, so maple trees are in the Acer family. And the main one I can name that would work for this would be the sugar maple. So I think I'm going to go with the sugar maple.
You're going to start your lockdown game with a key. That is correct.
All right.
That is pretty much the main thing that syrup needs.
Yeah. Yeah. Sugar and Canada, I think, is the other thing it needs.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Yeah.
You have a key. Where would you like to go with your one key, Brittany?
I think I want to go for the unlocked question on punny trivia.
Want to see what these have in store. The unlocked punny trivia question is this. It would be a touchy subject if you failed a class in what eponymous alphabet that was invented by a French educator.
Well, a touchy subject. I believe this would be reading by touch, so I think that's going to be Braille.
That is correct. That is your unlocked question in puns.
Okay.
You have an idea of what I might be doing in that category now?
Oh, yeah. I've got an idea, and I like it.
Two keys in your pocket. Okay. Where do you want to go?
Let's hit a mystery theme unlocked question.
The unlocked mystery theme question is this. A woman, a bottle of liquor, or a whip might all be the actual subject of what song that was first formally recorded in 1933 and made popular by Ram Jam in 1977?
I don't know. I'm just going to go with Brick House.
It is not Brick House, unfortunately. Yeah. Ram Jam, I don't know if they have other big songs. I know that Black Betty...
Oh.
Is okay. Their big one.
That makes sense. Okay.
Whoa, Black Betty.
Black Betty, Bam-a-lam.
Yeah, might be a woman, might be liquor, might be a whip. There's argument over that. Fortunately, Brittany, I do have to take your keys.
Okay.
So you have keys, but you can go to an unlock question or to a bonus key. Be careful, as you do still need to get to your expert category key requiring questions. Where would you like to go next? Yes.
Let's go with before and after.
All right, your before and after clue is this. A renowned musical venue located at 1260 6th Avenue in New York City could be the venue to watch a musical duo who settled a court case between them through arbitration in August of 2025.
Okay. New York City music venue duo. I'm going to go with Radio City Music Hall and Oaks.
Radio City Music Hall and Oates is a very silly before and after and is correct. Yes.
All right. Well,
one key now.
Okay. I think I've learned from my hubris earlier, which is I should probably use that key before I lose it. So let's go with punny trivia for one key.
Let's see what's behind the one key punny trivia question. Here it is. If the past, present, and future walk into a bar, what emotion might they all feel? That is also something a high schooler may struggle to command when writing a paper.
I would have to say if I were the past, present, and future walking into a bar, I would probably feel tense.
Tense is correct, yes.
I enjoy that question
very much. Only
going to
get stupider from here, Brittany. I'm just telling you, that category is just going to get stupid and stupid. Two keys in your pocket.
All right, two keys. Let's keep going. Let's go to punny trivia for two keys.
All right. Let's see what's behind the next one. What national capital would exponentially lead the world in population if it did what its name suggested every year?
Okay. So I have heard this one before, and it's what is the fastest growing capital in the world, and or what country has the fastest growing national capital in the world? And it's Ireland because it's always Dublin.
Yeah, Dublin is correct.
Dublin.
I'm not going to act like I was the first person to write this question, but at least I didn't copy and paste it. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not word for word. I've seen a lot of puns and jokes in my time. And I enjoy them. So,
well, I hope the next few will challenge you. But you do have three keys. So what do you want to do with them?
Let's go punny trivia for three keys.
This is my favorite. Here we go. What would be the difference between a poorly dressed man on a bicycle and a well-dressed man on a tricycle?
Okay. Poorly dressed man on a bicycle and a well-dressed man on a tricycle. I believe, Dalton, that would be the matter of attire.
Attire is correct. Attire is the difference between all of those things. Yes. And this might be the silliest Locked On episode ever, but you do have four keys, and there stands in front of you a hardest hypothetical punny trivia question. Do you want to go for that, or do you want to be a little chaotic here?
I think as much as I love chaos, I think I really just want to see what you did with that four key punny trivia. Let's do it.
All right. A mathematical operation that undoes another, that when combined with the original, yields the identity element, is what term? That is also how a poet may write.
Okay.
This is where Jay is screaming.
Yeah. How a poet may write. It's inverse.
Inverse is correct.
I was thinking of like specific numbers and I wasn't getting there. But yeah, inverse. Okay.
I hope you liked that.
I did. I did like it a lot. It was a thinker.
Fair enough. Hey, you got it right.
I'm an overthinker, so.
Nobody is surprised by this, Brittany, but you swept the puns category because I probably could not have written something you haven't heard before or could extrapolate on your own.
I had not heard the inverse thing before, and the touchy subject of Braille was great. I don't think I'd seen that way described before, so.
Fair enough.
I enjoyed that category immensely. Thank you very much. It was fantastic.
I'm happy to hear it. And you have as many keys as you need to open any question on the board. So now the strategy component will play in. Where do you want to go next?
Okay. I think I'm going to be bold or hubristic, and I'm going to go for run it back for four keys.
These are questions we've all missed in trivia, or at least some of us have missed, I think. I think they're just generically things that we can agree we've missed at some point or another in trivia.
I've missed a lot of things in trivia.
So have I. Yes. Here is your hypothetically hardest question and run it back.
Okay.
Get your head out of the toilet. Dump, floater, and wipe are all terms used in what Olympic sport?
Okay. Dump, floater, and wipe. Well, I've heard this before, which I guess is the whole point of this category.
Yeah, I was going to say, which makes me pretty happy, actually.
Yeah. Dump, floater, and wipe. Well, it's not curling, because I would know some of those, maybe. Or it is curling, and I'm going to completely embarrass myself. Is it rowing?
It's not rowing, Brittany.
Okay.
This is volleyball.
Oh, yeah, okay. Did not know those terms for volleyball, so... Yes.
Unfortunately, I do have to take your keys again. Yes,
that's fair.
That is a tough one.
Yeah, it was sort of the method of hubris of going for a four key, but knowing that if I missed it, then I'm not out too many keys.
Correct.
And I have plenty of ways to earn the keys, but I'm currently at zero keys, right?
That is correct. You can go to either of your unlocked questions or a bonus key, whichever you prefer.
All right, let's Women in Star Wars Unlocked.
All right. We've had a lot of Star Wars Unlocked down, and I admit, I could write Star Wars trivia all day, but we do have to have an actual podcast. That being said, we have not highlighted the women in Star Wars well enough yet. So, I gotta bring it here. So here is your Unlocked Women in Star Wars question. What Twi'lek character who has been animated on the screen and played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead live action shares her first name with a Greek goddess?
This would be Captain Hera Syndulla, or Hera Syndulla.
Hera Syndulla is correct, yes. You have one key, Brittany. Where do you want to go with it?
Let's go mystery theme one key.
Let's figure out what this is. Do you remember what you got wrong?
I remember it was Black Betty.
All right, here is your one key question. What direct competitor with Fanta, now owned by Keurig Dr. Pepper, has had slogans such as good vibrations and feel all orange inside?
Okay. Well, direct competitor with Fanta. brings to mind two, and I don't know who owns either of them, because there's Crush, and then there's Sunkist. I don't think Keurig Dr. Pepper owns Sunkist, because I think that's still like under the 7-Up stuff, but I don't know if Keurig Dr. Pepper owns 7-Up, to be honest. I'm going to go with Crush.
Brittany, you flipped the coin wrong this time. I'm so sorry.
No, Sunkist.
It is Sunkist.
All right.
Dr. Pepper does own 7-Up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be where I was betrayed.
Yes.
By my own. It's the 50-50-90 rule of flipping a coin in trivia. 90% of the time, you will flip the coin wrong, or as Jay likes to call it, Murphy's Cat, I believe. You can't know that you're wrong until you make the decision to be wrong.
I kind of like Yogi Berra's quote. Yogi Berra said 90% of the game is half mental.
Yeah, that works, actually. Yogi Berra has some interesting quotes.
He's got some great ones,
I think there was one time I did a round at a trivia thing I wrote that was, who said it, Yogi Berra or Dan Quayle?
That's funny.
And it was fun to write.
That's funny. If you can find those questions, I want to see them, because that's
funny.
Yeah,
I'll take a look and see if I can find them. So, if
unfortunately,
I do, I'll send
it to you. Though you do know the correct answers so far in your mystery theme, you haven't got any of them.
Yeah,
but that does play a little bit like you know it or you don't. So I'm curious how that one plays in this game. However, you have no keys.
Yeah, I have.
Where
no
would
keys.
You like to go?
Let's go with Stormy Trivia.
Something I think you should know. You got married there, so here's your question. Sporkle isn't just a made-up word. It's a portmanteau that highlights the company's desire to make learning enjoyable and accessible. Identify either half of their portmanteau.
Dang, that's a good question. I hope they don't withdraw my, like, wedding legality. I don't think they can. I think that's codified in law at this point. I got my certificate.
Only need one half, whatever you feel most confident in answering.
I'm going to say Oracle.
You got the question correct, Brittany. Really? That is the second half. Well done. The first half is Sporting Chance.
Sporting Chance. Okay.
Sporting Chance and Oracle will give you Sporkle. And you got one key again.
All right.
Where would you like to take it?
Let's take it to Women in Star Wars for one key.
Women in Star Wars for one. Here is your question. One of the few female presences in the original Star Wars trilogy is what alliteratively named character who was crucial in leading the rebellion and relevant in the Andor series?
That is going to be the queen of the crash out dance herself, Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothma is correct.
So,
Brittany, you've got two keys.
Okay.
And a choice.
I do. I've got three choices. Well, I've got more than three choices, but I've got some choices I can't use.
You got three good choices.
Do. Let's keep going with women in Star Wars and go for the two keys.
I don't see why not. Here is your two key women in Star Wars question. What planet is home to a matriarchal coven of witches, even though Darth Maul is arguably the most iconic character to come from that planet?
Oh, that's a great question. And I know it somewhere in my brain. I just have to think of what it is. Because Star Wars planets are rough. I think it's Dathomir. I think that feels right. It's something like that. If I've got the pronunciation wrong, I'm going to kick myself. But I think it's Dathomir.
You didn't get the pronunciation wrong. That is correct.
Oh, man. That was
Dathomir.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to push for it. Let's do women in Star Wars for three keys.
We're looking for a sweep in this category, just like we had in puns. Your three-key women in Star Wars question is this. What memorable former pirate character with intense mom vibes from the newest trilogy has only one vowel used in her name?
Oh, geez. Okay. Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember her name. Because I have not watched the newest trilogy that much, to be honest. Oh, it's Lupita Nyong'o's character, and I don't think I'm going to pull her name out of my brain.
Her first and last name only use one vowel. I will accept just her first name in this case.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think I can give you either name. I can picture her. She's got the goggles, and she's little and sort of shriveled and very old, and she's voiced by Lupita Nyong'o. She's on that planet where they kind of see the arc across the sky from the Starkiller base. She then appears later in sort of like a call, and she tells them to go look for the character with the plum bloom. And Canto Bite, I believe is the name. But I don't remember the character's name. So I think I'm about to lose my keys, unfortunately.
White flag?
I think I'm going to have to white flag this and just say Lupita Nyong'o.
She does voice Maz Kanata.
Maz Kanata. Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Unfortunately, you are correct. I do have to take your keys. You have left yourself open play. It okay. is getting a little tighter now, and you do have to be careful with your keys moving forward, but there's plenty of places to play. Where would you like to go next?
Let's go. Ooh, yeah. Let's go to the Billboard Buster.
All right. Billboard Buster. Looking for a bonus key. She had 5 number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100 between 1999 and 2011. But what artist most recently hit number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 with a 2022 collaboration with Elton John?
Oh, okay. Who did collaborations with Elton John? I know Dua Lipa did, but I don't think she had 5 number one hits between 1999 and 2011. Okay. I think Miley Cyrus did a collaboration with Elton John, but also would not have been active in 1999. So who would have been active in 1999? Maybe Beyonce? I don't think she's done a collaboration with Elton John. Maybe Shakira. I don't think Try Anything hit number one. But Hips Don't Lie was probably in that 2007 to 2011 era. She might have done a collaboration with Elton John in 2022, although she's been like doing court cases for tax evasion in Spain, so I don't know if she was recording in 2022.
I didn't know that. That's why I'm giggling.
Oh, fair enough. I don't think Alanis was doing stuff then, and I don't think she was doing stuff in 2022 with Elton John. Kesha wasn't performing in 99. Oh, it was, but I think she had a number one hit before 1999, and Whitney would not have been doing collaborations in 2022. I think I'm going to go with my gut here and say Beyonce.
Unfortunately, it is not Beyonce.
Okay.
It would surprise you not that she had hits from 99 to 2011, but that she came back in 2022 with Elton John. This is Britney Spears.
Oh, right. Okay, that makes sense.
She just did Hold Me Closer with Elton John in 2022.
Okay. Well, I have put myself into a little bit of a pickle here, but not an insurmountable pickle.
Yeah, correct. You do need to be careful with how you run it back.
Sure.
Which is literally the category that's going to be in play here.
Yeah.
But you have a specific path forward with the number of keys you have. It's 0 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I will leave this to you. Where would you like to begin this trek?
Let's go with unlocked question and run it back.
All right. This is the, we've missed it before. We can't miss it again. Unlocked question.
Here's open.
What national capital encompassing 14 islands and more than 50 bridges lends its name to a psychological condition that can affect victims of captivity?
Which one of my motherfucking friends suggested Stockholm? Tim? Was it fucking Tim or was it Jay?
I honestly don't remember, but I think all of them said this was the unlocked question for you. Yes.
All right. Yeah.
Stockholm is correct. Brittany, I will give you the air to say why that's funny.
On my one appearance on Jeopardy on the final question, it was about city history. And I've been informed, like, by people I trust that the question was harder than I initially thought it was. But it definitely talked about a psychological condition. And unfortunately, in my brain, I couldn't get past Pavlovian conditioning. And then the 30-second song started speeding, like, the key changed. And then I was like, oh, shoot, I've got to write something down. I can't come up with anything but Pavlov. So I wrote, what is Pavlov? And then I threw an A on the end of it at the end, hoping beyond hope that there was some city called Pavlova. It didn't mention that it was a capital. It just said it was a city. So I said Pavlova, didn't even have time to put my question mark on there. And afterwards, when I was finally able to get my phone back, I cannot stress enough how instantly I searched to see if there were cities called Pavlova, because I knew what I had just said was both a dessert and a Russian ballerina on national television. There are cities called Pavlova. None of them fit the question, though. So,
yeah.
But well, I didn't miss it this time.
I knew you'd be a good sport in the Jeopardy question you missed. And I knew that had to be the unlock question, because there wasn't a snowball's chance in hell that you would have missed it on lockdown.
I mean, I've basically missed questions about Sweden ever since that episode. And I've declared Sweden sort of my enemy, or my nemesis. But I am glad that I got this one, because I needed that key.
And you have one key.
Then I'm going to go with run it back for one key.
All right. Here's your next question. The Canary Islands are named for what kind of animal? Stemming from the etymological roots of the name instead of a literal canary.
They are named after dogs.
That is correct. Canines for canary. And you have two keys now and a choice again as to whether you would rather take on that mystery theme or continue and run it back.
Yeah, because if I miss the mystery theme, I'm out, because I can't get enough.
If you miss any of these, you're out from now on, except you will get your bonus key. So this is just about what you feel most comfortable in moving forward.
Okay. Black Betty, Sunkissed. You know what? I love a mystery theme. Let's go for a two-key mystery theme.
All right. It has not treated us well so far, but we are looking forward to this
one. I'm looking for redemption here.
Yes. Your two-key question in the mystery theme is this. Head to a Circle K gas station if you want to get what kind of fountain drink? Recognized by its white and blue styrofoam cups, and alliteratively named for keeping its contents cold.
I know something strange is afoot at the Circle K. It's like, oh, let me head down to the Circle K and grab a pop. No. A pop. Thinking push pop, but that's not that. Popsicle, pop, Peroni, puppy pop. No. What words mean cold? Like, keeping its contents cold. Black Betty, Sunkissed. So we've got black, we've got sun. We've got Betty and Kissed, or Betty and Sun, or black and kissed. But it's K-I-S-T for sunk. I'm going to take the first part of that word. Betty Davis, Betty Grable, Betty Boop. I think you could have a black heart. You could have a sun heart. I don't know if that's a thing. Cold. Keeping its contents cold. Polar Pop.
Holy shit, you got it right, Brittany. Yes!
So I may have just tried to make puns in my head.
And it worked, because Polar Pop is correct.
Oh my word,
now
okay.
I want to check in. And don't say it if you got it, because I want my listeners to have fun.
Yeah.
But you've got the Black Betty, the Sunkissed, and the Polar Pop. Do you know what the mystery theme is?
Not yet.
Okay, well, you have three keys.
Yeah.
And you barely escaped with your life in the mystery theme. So, where do you want to go next?
I'm going to make a weird decision. Well, not that weird of a decision. I'm going to go for Who in the World.
I see what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
We're trying to get to that Women in Star Wars question.
Yes.
And no risk with bonus keys.
Yep.
Who in the World? I'm looking for a stage name. Here is your question. Born Chaim Witz in 1949, what Israeli-American musician and singer has other alter egos such as The Demon, God of Thunder, Dr. Love, and Reginald Van Helsing?
Okay. And I'm sure there are so many people like yelling through their speakers right now, like, totally fair. I know my strengths and weak. Well, I actually don't know my strengths in trivia. This is how we got to Chaos Night. I know my weaknesses in trivia, and this is definitely one of them.
Thankfully, it's a bonus key, so it's not going to hurt you.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Slash.
Not a bad guess.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Gene Simmons.
I was going to say Gene Simmons, but that seemed too tame with everything else.
Yep, that's Dr. Love.
Okay.
Gene Simmons. So, thankfully, it did not hurt you, and you still have three keys. So now you actually do have to make the choice.
I do have to.
Do you want to go for the mystery theme or the run it back for three keys?
All right,
so far, a mystery theme. Yeah, I was going to say, let's take inventory here.
Yeah, so far, I have not done well at the mystery theme. Polar Pop was a last second pull.
That was the pull.
Sunkissed and Black Betty. I don't know what connects those yet. And it feels like it would be very risky to go for that with having no clue on the connection. But on the other hand, Run It Back is risky in and of itself because it's questions we've missed at trivia. And maybe we miss it again on a podcast. And there's a chance that if I could kind of think of something that works for the mystery theme, then I might be able to back connect it. You know what? Guts, glory, what have you. I'm going to go for the three key mystery theme question.
Let's do it and see what's behind it. Your three key question is this. What character voiced by John Leguizamo in a movie franchise is a deuteragonist of the story and is much larger than its evolutionary descendants alive today?
Okay. Voiced by John Leguizamo. Much larger. It's a deuteragonist. Got to remember that word means.
That's a $5 word, right?
Yeah. And I think I was just confusing John Leguizamo with John Lithgow, which is different. Deuteragonist. I think that's when you have two protagonists. Much larger than descendants today. I think this is the Ice Age franchise. Now I've just got to remember who John Leguizamo voiced. Part of me wants to say he voiced Sid the Sloth, because I think Ray Romano voiced Manny. And I don't think a deuteragonist is like an antagonist, but I don't think John Leguizamo voiced the saber-toothed tiger. I think that was someone else. I'm going to say Sid the Sloth.
You're going to keep playing, Brittany. Okay. That is correct. The giant sloths are significantly larger than the sloths alive today. And John Leguizamo played Sid the Sloth. You've got Sid the Sloth. You've got Black Betty.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Sunkissed and Polar Pop.
Hmm.
You also have four keys.
I have four keys.
You have four keys.
Black Betty, Sunkissed, Polar Pop, Sid the Sloth. I don't know what the connection is there. And I'm feeling like it's something with music. So I'm going to... I want us to at least hear all the questions for women in Star Wars, so I'm going to go for four key Star Wars.
I would have been surprised if you didn't. Here is your hypothetically hardest women in Star Wars question. What character who has been live action and animated gets her name from an Italian painting from the 1600s depicting the abduction of women?
Okay, that is going to be Sabine.
Sabine Wren is correct. Mm-hmm. Well done. Did you know that because of Star Wars or because of the art? Like, how did you get in on that?
I knew there was a character called Sabine, but I did remember the abduction or the, I won't say the word, so of the Sabine or Sabine women.
Yes. So, yeah. I wrote my question carefully.
Yes, I did notice, so.
Yeah. Hey, you have all the keys now, and it's just a matter of what order you want to go in, and can we get to all our questions?
Let's go run it back for two.
All right. We're trying to get to all of our questions. Your two key run it back question is this. Though we know it was invented in early 1800s Philadelphia, the inventor of what equipment is unknown, as the patent was ironically destroyed in flames?
I would say, ironically, that would probably be the fire extinguisher.
Unfortunately, Brittany, I do have to end our game right there.
That's fair.
Because the early 1800s was when the fire hydrant.
Oh, okay.
Had its patent. And that is different. And I checked and I wanted to give it to you, but I cannot.
I can't give me something that's wrong. So, yeah. And I don't think I've actually heard that question before. So
that makes me happy to a certain extent.
I was just picking something that I thought would be ironic if it got destroyed in a fire. And fire extinguishers seemed ironic. So
apparently the fire extinguisher's earliest patent on a quick check with Google AI said the late 1700s.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not going to say it was a very effective fire extinguisher.
Probably
But yeah, the 1800s is when we first saw our fire hydrant.
Okay.
Brittany, we're going to end today with 16 points.
Okay.
Which is a passing score in Lockdown Trivia.
Cool.
And as far as our upcoming tournament, I may have alluded to a couple times, goes, it is also a score that is scary for your opponents. Because okay. You are a good trivia player to enter with that score. That's okay. All I'm going to say.
Well, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised. This was honestly like the least stressful way I think I could have done this. And I really appreciate you accommodating my strange request for not giving you topics.
I had fun and I hope you had fun.
I did.
You can also tell Jay that you beat her.
We shall see. She is currently letting me very graciously rent her basement and I don't want to antagonize her. But I think she'd get a kick out of it. So she was giving me advice on how to play. So,
oh yeah. Brittany, do you have anything coming up? Any shout outs you want to make? Thoughts, comments, hopes, fears, dreams, desires, things of that nature?
You know, we're nearing the holiday season. Well, we're in the holiday season, I guess. And, you know, if you're trying to think of what gifts to get to give to people as the holiday approaches, if you're a gift giver, remember that kindness is free. So if you're trying to save money, do something kind. Acts of service can be a great way to give something to someone in a way that if you aren't financially well off, or, you know, or if the person you are giving something to doesn't like things, acts of service can be great. Also, the holidays can be really hard for people, especially people who have mental health struggles. So make sure you're reaching out and checking in on your friends, check in on yourself, be kind to yourself. And I should probably shout out my podcast, Fritty Me Trivia. Assuming it's still going, we might be on a holiday hiatus right now. But I don't know. Please check us out. Please keep checking out Lockdown Trivia. Dalton, you put on a hell of a game and you're a great writer. And I'm so appreciative that you were able to accommodate my schedule changes and just letting me come on and have a great time.
So, appreciate that. Thank you so much. As somebody who values acts of service and who values the thought, I second your sentiment. And as someone who does not have a deep family connection for the holidays, I could not second that second sentiment more. Chosen Family Matters. Reach out to people you care about, even just to say, hey, thinking about you, hope you're doing well. That is the difference for some people who are having a really, really hard time. So to that end, Brittany, thank you for that message. Thank you for coming on. And I fully expect you to come back, if not on your own solo episode, perhaps a competitive or cooperative game, or when the tournament comes around, I expect you to beat some ass. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we shall see what happens. So I look forward to returning. So,
all right. We'll see you soon, Brittany.
Thanks.
Thanks again, Brittany, for coming on. This was a remarkably fun episode to write. Getting all that freedom that you gave me really challenged me to think about how do I want to approach a game that I know literally nothing about. Not only categories that I might not know something about, but really free reign. And so my thought process in this game was to reach out to Brittany's friends to find out a little bit about what makes Brittany tick in trivia and to throw a little bit of me in there. I really wanted the mystery theme. I hadn't got a chance to do that yet. Brittany's friends and pretty much everybody that's ever met her knows that that pun category would be a lot of fun. Women in Star Wars was a great combination of things that Brittany loves and things I love. And then, of course, that run it back category was kind of the creative choice. It was something like reaching out to multiple friends saying, what's a question you really wish you had not missed? Especially if you missed it multiple times. We won't talk about Leanne Rimes on this podcast, but I think it was a lot of fun to approach it with no direction except look out for her, Look out for me. Look out for us. Look out for everyone. That was the approach. So if you get that opportunity, and I hope you do as a writer, that was a lot of fun. I encourage you to invite yourself, invite your guest, invite both of you, and invite everyone. That was my perspective on this game. Our bonus question from this episode comes from the mystery theme category, and maybe this was what was needed to tip the scale. Here's your question. Portrayed by Dan Haggerty in a popular TV series, what American frontiersman, hunter, and showman lived from 1812 to 1860? While you're thinking of that, I want to highlight this upcoming tournament, and what is exciting about it, among other things, is that some of these trivia players who are excellent trivia players but maybe did not do well in lockdown are potential serious upset candidates. Get your expert categories in order if you have been on lockdown, because you never know who you are going to have to go against, and you never know how capable they're going to be on their expert categories. The correct answer to this bonus question today is Grizzly Adams. When you put those all together, you've got Black, Sun, Sloth, Polar, and Grizzly. The mystery theme is that all the answers had bears. New episodes every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. In the meantime, I cannot wait to continue to write, continue to learn, continue to unlock your brains one key at a time. Did you plan to get married at SporkleCon, or was that a spontaneous, like, holy shit, anything could happen decision?
Yes and no. It's both. Aaron and I had talked about getting married for a couple of years, but we live in different places and it's never really been possible. He flew in Wednesday to be there for SporkleCon weekend and also my post-op appointment, and just to see each other. So Wednesday night we're at dinner and Jay sends me a message that says, hey, you know, we could do it this weekend, right? Hmm. And she's like, also, here's a list of times that the county clerk's office has for marriage license applications tomorrow. Just saying. And so I turned to Aaron and I'm like, hey, you want to do this? And Aaron was like, yeah, I think so. Why not? Let's do it. So we then at that point planned to have the wedding on Sunday. Plans obviously shifted throughout the weekend as to what that was going to look like. Plans changed even like 2 hours before everything happened, and that was really thanks to Mark and Jason and Lauren and the whole team at SporkleCon just really kind of coming together and making that what it was. Like, we were just planning to do something at the end of what was going to be Mega Sheep and became the quick trivia game. We were just going to do something at the end, and we were just asking, like, just to make sure we weren't going to get them in trouble if we stayed in the room too long. And then,
which is a diabolical thing to worry about when you're getting married, by the way.
Yeah, but it was just like, because it wasn't planned to be they weren't planning on having a wedding there. Like, we're just making sure, like, hey, if we're not out of the room at exactly 4 p.m., are y'all going to get in trouble? And like, and then they're like, wait, you're doing what? And then Mark was like, do you want to do it at the Balloon Arch? And I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome, actually. He's like, and do you want a Globee? And I was like, if a Globee is available, sure. Like, I don't want anyone going out of their way, but yeah, if there's a Globee free. And it's like, I was like, if Globee is up for it, I would love for Globee to be the ring bearer. They were like, they would be honored. And I thought there was going to be one Globee, and then there were two.
There were two.
Like,
oh my
genuine
God.
Genuine surprise. And yeah, originally Jay was going to, originally, Jay was going to do the ceremony, and I was just going to have like a couple of people standing up with me, and Aaron was going to have a couple of people standing up with him. And then when we didn't think Jay and Quincy were going to be able to be there, because Quincy was going to be my maid of honor, we were just kind of like, okay, what can we do? And then Brian Nash was like, well, Holly's ordained. And we're like, oh, okay, great. And so then I asked Holly, and she was more than willing to step in and do an amazing, like, truly touching ceremony. And just,
it was, I told you this at the end of it, that it was the perfect combination of genuinely full of love and also extraneously silly.
Like, yes, it was a very great balance. It was a great balance. And it's it really shows, like, just the friends you can make through online communities of trivia people. Like, there's great people everywhere, and you know, we just decided to do it while everyone was together. So
I love it. I was curious what the backstory was, because you could tell it was a little impromptu, but you could also tell that it wasn't out of nowhere. So
yeah, it wasn't like we were like, oh, hey, let's get married. It was, we've talked about it for a while, and then we're like, hey, we could make it work this weekend. You want to? And that's how it happened. So,
well, cheers to newlyweds, Brittany.
Oh, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
It was honestly, as a unexpected spectator, it was the coolest thing in the world to finish the weekend.
Oh, so yeah. It was a blast. And you're reminding me that I still need to email Lauren, because she wants us to write like a blog post for Sporkle. And I keep forgetting. So
well, in the blog post, remind her that if somebody pre-orders a shirt in large, they better have it when they show up.
I will make sure
do that.
That the Sporkle merch knows. So yeah.